Everyone, wasn't that a great way to start the day?
Woo!
Praise the Lord. So he's going to be doing a whole Shakespearean monologue at the annual talent show this winter, so we're really looking forward to that. He's just finding out now, going to make NC State proud. Okay. Good morning and welcome to Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill. Good to see everybody and have you here this morning. Raise your hand if you need a Bible, if you do not have one, and our usher will get that to you. If anybody needs a Bible, raise your hand. Everybody locked and loaded. Praise God. We like that. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Last night we had another outreach on Franklin Street, and it truly was such a just blessed time. Folks, every time we come back from one of these, I'm always saying the same thing. People are hungry. They want to know the Lord. They want to commune with the Lord, and there's many who profess Christ, and then there's questions that come up and wanting to know more and understand more. So please continue to keep that in prayer and praising the Lord for the faithful servants coming out for that. If you haven't done it yet or you're still wrestling, praying, pray on it. But I remind us when we think about this of the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us, that's all y'all, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We're all called to be ambassadors for the Lord God Almighty. So I encourage you, remember that, and don't buy the lie from the enemy. Well, evangelism isn't my thing. If the blood of Jesus is on you and you're a new creation in Christ, it's everybody's thing. Everyone is commissioned to share. It will look different for each person, but we all have to be telling people about Jesus. That song we sing time to time, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you about my Jesus. So make sure you're doing that. I want to see that if we say, okay, who talked to people about Jesus this week, that everybody's hand just pops up. We all did, because we all have to be about the Great Commission. It can't just be every now and then, and we can't be Sunday morning only people. We want to be on fire every day. Speaking of being on fire, I've shared the way the Lord is burdening me, praying for Jesus Movement 2.0, to see the fire in believers, the Spirit of God poured out, and people going forth with the gospel boldly. The elders, myself, Cassie and Abby, Mike and Eileen, who oversee our youth, we're all headed down to Georgia today. That's why there's no house of prayer this evening, to the Deep South Pastors and Leaders Conference. For the next few days. And so Wednesday, we'll be coming back Wednesday, late afternoon, evening. But Wednesday, we'll be screening Jesus Revolution. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you, come out to see it. We're going to do it at 7 p.m. If you have seen it, come out and watch again. It's just a good time for us as we're studying Acts, as the Lord's burdening us to reach our community more, just to remember the roots of the Calvary Chapel movement we're part of. To remember that root. So that will be playing. Come out for that if you can. It'll be a great time to just gather together and see and be open to how the Lord leads and seek that filling of his Spirit to be faithful to what he wants you to do. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this morning, Lord. Father, thank you for the time of worship, reminding ourselves of who you, our mighty King, are, Lord. Thank you for the grace and mercy you bestow upon each and every single one of us, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the joy that we can share with one another, Lord. Thank you for the love that we share within this body of believers, Lord. And Father God, now as we shift to the best part of this morning, digging into your word, Lord, I ask your Spirit to teach us. Father God, teach us this morning. Grow us, every single one of us, Lord. That, Lord, we would be open to what you have to speak to us this day. Lord, that we would put ourselves aside, put the weak on pause, put the distractions that want to come in, the vibrating watches, whatever notifications try to distract us, that, Lord, we just focus on our King right now. Lord, to receive the manna that you have for us. Lord, to allow you to refine us, to chisel us, that we be the men and women of God, the young men and young women, the children, the people, the body of Christ that you desire as our mighty King. And Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you alone know the heart of each individual in this place. And Father God, we pray for those who may not know you that are here this morning. We pray for those who have strayed but are trying to come back to the Father. That, Lord, the scales be removed. They repent and say, Father, have your way. Lord, that is the prayer of all of us this morning. Have your way in and through the lives of each person here for your glory alone. In the majestic and all-powerful name above all other names, the name of our King Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Amen. So we continue our journey in the book of Acts, and we started Acts chapter 9 when we gathered last. Well, actually, we were in the middle of Acts chapter 9. We're going to keep walking through that. And what we looked at, we did a little dive on Ananias last week, and we saw this obedience that comes from Ananias. We saw the heart of one able to say, here I am. When the Lord calls, when the Lord said, Ananias, what did he say? Here I am, Lord. And we talked about whether or not you're so busy that when the Lord's calling your name, maybe you can't even hear it because you're so consumed with everything else that's going on. Are you able to hear the name when the Lord calls you? Are you willing? Are you open or not? We need believers today that say, here I am, Lord. I believe we need it more than ever, yet we lack it so much. For far too often, as we talked about last week, when the Lord calls, too many of us, well, let me finish this show on Netflix, Lord, and then I'll get there. Or, hang on, I got to check that text. Or wait, I got to look at that reel one more time. It's so funny. And then, yeah, okay, Lord, here I am. But what is it to just have that instant response? Here I am, Lord. We saw God's calling to him. We saw the directions that were given. We saw that little tense moment of struggle, of figuring out, but this guy that you're sending me to, he could kill me. What does this mean? How does this work? And we saw in this case, the Lord gave certain things to look for that would be confirmations along the way. We saw how he arrived, laying hands, calling him brother. And the person doing all this, as we talked about, wasn't some ordained hotshot. This is just an ordinary guy, an ordinary layman used by the Lord God Almighty. And saints, I pray as we're working through Acts, let the Lord have his way in your life right now. Because every single one of us is an ordinary person in this room. Be available, be open, and let the Lord decide what he wants to do with your life. Remember, we looked last week. I put the picture up. What was his name? Anybody remember? No one remembers. That's okay. Edward Kimball. But in that, what did we learn? He was the one who taught Moody, and then it went all the way down and trickled to Billy Graham. But it's not like Edward Kimball was looking for any special glory other than the Lord being glorified and names added to the book of life. Are you about that business? Are you open? Are you available? Are you willing to hold on to relationship with Jesus over religion and tradition? Because that's what it comes down to. So the charge last week was to check and pray on, how's your here I am? How is your here I am? Where are you struggling with that? And where you're struggling, are you asking brothers and sisters in this body, can you pray with me? Can you pray with me? Can you pray that the Spirit of God fills me afresh, that I can be empowered to go about and share the gospel? How are you doing with that? Two, is your life about his will? Because that was something we observed in Ananias. It was about the will of the Lord God Almighty. And Saul, as he has this encounter with Christ, it's about the will of the Lord. And then the last part of the charge last week, are you about Christian culture or Jesus culture? Because I think an issue we have too much right now in the bride of Christ is we're all trying to look like Christians and do Christian culture and do this is how we do it, but we're not looking at Jesus. Is it Christian culture or Jesus culture for you? Let it be Jesus culture. Because that's what we need to get lost in. That's what we need to surrender. Because what we're looking at here is a radical Jesus with a radical transformation and radical followers. Where are you, radical followers of Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill? Who's ready to be radical for Jesus? Who's ready to be bold for Jesus? Who's ready to do whatever Jesus asks you to do, no matter what? I don't care what anybody thinks, because I only love Jesus. Amen. I saw that hand pop up. I'm in. But let's be on fire for the Lord, guys. Think of where we are. We're in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I don't know if you know, but every time we leave the doors of this church, we are around millions of people hellbound. So let's be radical for Jesus. Let's seek his filling afresh. Let's go forth. Let's be obedient. Let's be people of here I am, Lord. Let's be people of your will, not mine. Let's be people of I'm in Jesus culture. I follow Jesus, and I don't want anybody else. I don't need man's approval. I need God's approval. So we're going to journey onward today. We're going to be in verses 20 to 31. The title of today's message is Tunes of Transformation. Tunes of Transformation. And as we look at this, we've seen this encounter with Jesus. We've seen that he transforms. And when Jesus transforms a life, because when you encounter Jesus and surrender unto obedience, you're transformed. When he transforms a life, and we're going to see in this text, a little playlist begins. Can you put the playlist up there? And the playlist, the songs we're going to look for this morning, we're going to see Soul on Fire. That's going to be one of the things. The tunes that goes forth is a soul on fire for Jesus. Then another song that comes forth when a life is transformed by Jesus, you hear the song from a lot of people. Say, what? Can it be? Say what? Is that really? Can it be? Then the other song you see when a life is transformed by Jesus is the perplexed and bewildered. I'm perplexed and I'm bewildered. What is going on here? Another song we see, we'll get them. We'll get them. That's the I will hunt you down. We'll get them. Another one that we see, and we're going to, through our text, look for these different themes. You see, you've got a friend. You've got a friend. Ain't it good to know you've got a friend? You see that one. You're going to see, can't fool me. Can't fool me. Yeah, you think you changed in Christ. No, you didn't. You can't fool me. You're going to see that response this morning. You're going to see also, we are family. The unity within. The unity within. We are family. And through all of this, as we see at the end of our portion this morning, what takes place for the bride of Christ, we will be reminded, a mighty fortress, 'tis he indeed. What a mighty fortress we serve. God changes people radically. I got a question. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Oh, we're getting interactive here. I like it. But we've got to believe that. And we can't be believers who see people, who look beyond the spheres of the comfort of our nice group of loving and people here, that we look at a life beyond these walls and think, oh, Jesus can't hit that person. They're so far gone. And if we're real, Christians do that. We see people, we think, well, they're so woke or they're so lost or can God really change, dot, dot, dot. Yes, he can. We've got to be willing to believe that and to see that. And we've got to figure out when lives are being changed around us, what tune do you put on as your number one hit tune? Do you become a soul on fire? Do you become that person who says, you've got a friend in me. We're family in Christ. Or are you that person that says, can't fool me. You can't fool me. You didn't really change. Who are you when you see lives being transformed? Formed by the Lord God Almighty. We can't be people who say they could never, because then you're limiting God, and you know how I feel about that idea. Saul's journey impacts others around him. We will see Saul's allies become adversaries, and we will see those that he wanted to destroy become his friends. And in the text today, we're going to also get some important nuggets that we must not overlook in terms of how we should be the bride of Christ. Because we get two little reminders about the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Spirit. So saints, before we dig into the text, will you let God challenge you? Are you radical or rational? Because a lot of us, if we're real, we like to do this time in Scripture rationally. Because it's safe, I can control it, I don't have to feel uncomfortable, I shall remain in my nice rational box, it's cozy. Are you willing to be radical? That's scary. You're being blasphemous. Now you're going to start talking about the Holy Spirit. You bet your dollar I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit because you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit so you can be his church. So I ask again, are you radical this morning or rational? Are you open or not? Yesterday before outreach, one of the young adults, Quinn, shared a beautiful anointed devotional. Really, it was a mini sermon, if we're real, because I said just a minute or two and 15 minutes later. But it was so good. And one of the things he said that I held on to and it convicted me, routine takes you out of faith. And what his point was there as he was sharing this is when we get stuck in our comfortable routines, we push out having to take steps of faith and have faith in God. And he was encouraging all of us going out, don't just go on the way you've always done this. Because now we've done a few of these outreaches. And he was reminding, seek the filling of the Spirit of God, walk in the Spirit, and let the Lord lead you. So that you have to walk by faith. So you're not in control. You're not just going by routine. That's what we got to do. We got to walk by faith. It's what the Lord calls, right? So let's stand up all together, brothers and sisters. Let's read our text together this morning, Acts chapter 9, verses 20 to 31. We stand to give our undivided attention and focus on the blessed gift of the Word of God. All together we read, immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Then all who heard were amazed and said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose, so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and led him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out, and he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father God, I ask right now for a filling afresh of your Spirit to be empowered to bring forth the words that are needed for your sheep, Lord Jesus, to feed them, to tend to them, to convict them, Lord, that you can have your way in every single person's life in this room. Lord God, lead and guide me, please, as your servant, to be faithful to your people, Lord, to focus on what you desire, hindered by no thought of man, anchored on Christ alone. Lord Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Speak to them, Lord. Father, that we would allow you to refine us, to prepare us, to have your way. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Grab a seat. So we start here, verse 20. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. It's interesting when we see what takes place here after these scales fall off, immediately he's going. He didn't go to a detour to do a 2-year program or go get a degree or go get trained or sit with a bunch of folks. Right away, he starts sharing Jesus Christ. And think about it, if you remember when that fire first entered you and you knew who the Lord was, you get that moment where you just want to tell everybody about Jesus. I got to tell you, you got to hear what just happened. I want you to know Jesus. Don't let that fire die. Don't let that be a fire that was just then. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. So he preaches Jesus. And remember, we looked at that example, what it means a few weeks back to preach Christ. And that, if you're preaching Christ, between everything we have in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the prophecies to come, eschatology to come, Israel being grafted in Romans 11, there's a lot. You don't need to add anything. You don't need other stuff. That's why I think we should go back, Bride of Christ. Just preach Jesus. It keeps you busy enough. That's what he focuses on doing. And he's going into the synagogues. Remember, he was expected to be coming, because what was he going to do? Capture all these people of the way. He was going to get them. He was going to deal with them. But that's not quite what he's there for now. His mission's changed a bit. Now, know within this time period, within the culture in the synagogues, they had it set up that any Jewish man would be able to come to speak that is able, that has something to share. So he's capitalizing on that at that time. And what he teaches is where there's a struggle for these folks, because he's teaching that Jesus Christ, Messiah, this one that has come, is the Son of God. Now, let's see why this was controversial for them. Scripture will answer it for us. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, when we're seeing Jesus being put on trial facing the Sanhedrin, we read in verse 63 there. But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witness? Look, now you have heard his blasphemy. What do you think? They answered and said, he is deserving of death. And they spat in his face, beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy to us, Christ, who is the one who struck you. So they don't like this answer. We're going to look at another passage in a minute. And I had us go all the way because it shouldn't just be Resurrection Sunday we think about the crucifixion of our King. He took that all for us. Don't forget that. In humble obedience. And they're pressing this Son of God idea, because for the Jewish folks, they didn't like what this would imply. Why? John chapter 5, verse 16. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him because he had done these things on Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Here's where they have an issue. Therefore, the Jews sought all the more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. That's where the issue, the main contentiousness for these rulers would come. And while he's in the synagogue and he's saying this to folks who, yes, some may be believers that are present, because we knew the believers were still going to synagogue, but many were not. Many were rejecting Christ. And to say he's the Son of God is problematic to them because, whoa, you're now saying he's equal with God. No. We can't have that. Yet what we see here is a soul on fire. A soul on fire, preaching Christ, preaching truth. How's your fire for truth? If you were put before a group to share, do you give the whole truth or do you take out the things that people might find uncomfortable because, you know, I don't want them to be upset with me? No, give the whole thing. And look at the response that takes place here. Then all who heard were amazed and said, "Is this not he who destroyed those who called on this name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests?" This is that song, "Say what? Can it be? Is that really him? What's going on here?" The amazed there points to besides oneself. It points to, wait a second, what's going on? Now we know from 2 Corinthians 5:17, what? Old things has passed away and what? We are what in Christ? New creations, right? We're new creations. There's a radical transformation. The enemy of all these people is now the brother. But they can't grapple this. They can't figure this out. They just look at this in awe because he had a reputation. They knew him one way. They knew his arrival meant one thing. And a radical Jesus did a radical transformation. And they're saying, how can that be? Now, something to note with this transformation, and I think is important to highlight, Saul didn't transform himself. Because when we talk about transformation, it can go down this rabbit hole where you're hearing the whole sermon, but then afterwards, all you're thinking about is, well, I gotta transform myself now. I gotta transform myself. Pastor talked about transformation. I gotta transform myself. You can't. You can't transform yourself. You can't change yourself. Jesus can do that. Jesus alone. As we sang this morning, it's Christ alone. It's Jesus alone who's able to do that. He's transformed what they're seeing here. This one preaching Christ in the synagogues was transformed by Christ. And he had a reputation, but the good news gave him a new name, a new report of who he is. And don't forget that, because sometimes as the Lord's changing you, and it's not like if you're a veteran believer, well, okay, I haven't been saved within the last year, so everything that he's talking about doesn't really apply to me. Whoa, hold the phone. We're continually being renewed. We're continually being perfected. He's continually changing and transforming us. But as he's changing us, as he's growing us, as he's stretching us, there's still going to be people who look at what the Lord's doing in your life and be like, are you really the same Bobby? Like, what's going on? And you dig deeper. Well, you really, what's going on? And we've got to keep his wardrobe on and who he says we are. That's why we're told to put the armor of God on. And don't pick up the old hoodie, the old self. Leave the old hoodies in the attic. Better yet, burn them. Don't put them on. Because too often we put those things on and we put on our old reputation. And the enemy can taunt with that when you're around those who you're moving forward. It's like, can it be? Did you really change? Yes. And then preach Christ. Don't look back. Don't go back. So we keep going here. Then we see in verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Now, we're going to start to see as we continue on in Acts, the Jews as a title coming up. This is not referring to every single Jewish person. This is referring to the Jews that are against the gospel of Christ. That's what he's pointing to when we see this here. It's the ones that are opposing. Now, Saul is increasing in more strength. It's not as though he's, I can't remember his name, the guy who ate the can of spinach, Popeye. He's not Popeye. That's not what's going on here. But what's taking place, what we actually see going here, is as he obeys and as he serves the Lord, guess what? God strengthens him. Because as you're in obedience to the Lord, as you're walking in what the Lord is asking you to, the Spirit of God continues to fill you afresh, and you are empowered to do what the Lord has called you to do. Yet these folks are confounded, they're perplexed, they're bewildered. Because God's hand in this just doesn't make sense. And guess what? God's ways of transformation isn't always going to make sense to man. the way the Lord changes a soul for him isn't going to make sense. And he's proving that Jesus is the Christ. What did we learn about Saul? Who did he learn under? Gamaliel. What is he learned from one of the top rabbis? So he's able to say, hang on, you remember this, and you see all of these different things that we have in our books. This is all what was spoken of to come. This is the Messiah. He's here. He's here. He's risen. That's what he's able to do. He goes forth to do that boldly. But the response takes place. Verse 23. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. Got the two songs, "We'll Get Him," and then "We've Got, You've Got a Friend," taking place here. Because what we see take place, those who were his allies are now his adversaries. Because remember, the high priest, he had the authority, he had the papers, he could go and he could have arrested all of these ones of the way and bring them back to Jerusalem for trial, and would often have their trial go towards death. And now those who he was in alliance with to kill are now adversaries, and you're the one that we need to kill. You're the one that we need to get. And then we see with that also in this portion, those that were fearful of him are now fighting with him. These are radical changes that only Jesus Christ can do. Because I know for me personally, I remember as a young believer first reading this and going through it, and I was just like, I don't know how I would respond if I saw someone like Saul. I mean, I know the Lord can do anything, but woo, that's a change immediately. But that's our God. That's how powerful he was. Now, we have to understand how powerful he is. The city walls at this time period, when we see them, that they put him down through the wall in a basket, it's not as though they pushed him through the wall. There were these openings within the walls around the cities, no glass, and the basket would be put through that. Scripture gives us more understanding of this. Paul recalls this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 32 to 33, we read there, "In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, was guarding the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through a window in the wall and escaped from his hands." Now, this gives us other context clues, because we know that the timing of this would be around AD 37 to 39 based on who's ruling. And we're going to, in a little bit, learn of the time frame of him being there. He's going to go to Arabia, which we're going to see momentarily, for 3 years. So we're able to use some dating and can say between 34 to 36 AD is probably around the timing of when Saul's conversion took place. Just a little fun side fact and why we let Scripture prove Scripture. Because we get that little tidbit in 2 Corinthians, and then it illuminates all these other tidbits for us to know. So he's let in through this basket. And there's a question when I look at this that we've got to ask ourselves. Are you willing to be a basket bearer? Are you willing to be a basket bearer? Because when we see this, they know now, the ones that, "You've got a friend, Saul. You've got a friend in me." And that friendship in Christ, they're basket bearers. "We're going to help you. You're not going to get killed." Are you willing to be a basket bearer? Or are you what I think we see too much in the church, conditional Christians? "Well, we don't really have the same personality, so I'll talk to you Sunday morning, but like, don't expect to hear from me for the rest of the week." Okay. We can't play that game. We got to love everybody in the bride of Christ. And we all need to be ready to be basket bearers. Persecution heats up for the bride of Christ in America. I don't think it's a matter of if, I think it's a when. Are you going to be a basket bearer? Are you going to be a basket bearer? Or is it conditional for you? I have to like them. We have to have the same hobbies. We have to be, you know, in our little clique. No. Ain't no cliques in the bride of Christ. Are you a basket bearer for anybody in this room? Are you actually willing, saints, to be a basket bearer for anyone in this room? something we have to pray through, something we have to think of, unity in Christ, not unity in Christian culture. Unity in Christ. We need it, that we protect one another for his glory. So we go on, verse 26. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. So we see here now, this is that can't fool me tune. But what's interesting with this can't fool me tune, notice he's come to Jerusalem, but we've actually learned something in Galatians about what takes place between verses 25 to 26. What takes place? Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 13 to 18. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers, which is why he's able to prove Jesus is Christ, as we saw in our text. But when it pleased God, because the Lord's the one who transforms, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, because it is by grace we are saved, not through works, to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. So we see he is there, he goes to Arabia, then he returns back to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days, but I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So that's an important little piece to get, because we see here before he's arriving in Jerusalem, there's a time period of 3 years. Now, there's speculation to what took place in these 3 years, communion with the Lord, solitude to be with the Lord, to be in the scriptures, to be immersed in understanding the grace versus law. 3 years. And we see that he comes now after these 3 years and they're all afraid of him. And it could be, well, maybe, okay, he's got some big ploy. This is a big trick. He's been away and he's going to be planning to trick us all and then he's going to kill us all. Could be some of the fear that was there, some of the concern that was there, some of the worry that was there. They're afraid and they did not believe. But, verse 27, Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're really paying attention, you might have bells going, wait a second, we just read in Galatians that he didn't see any of the other apostles. Why are we now seeing that he, wait a second, is this a contradiction in Scripture? No, it's not. I want to point out and help us remind something. Apostle here, twofold meaning. Sent forth, one sent for God, and then there's the apostle meaning where we're pointing to the original apostles that were with Jesus Christ. If you look, when we go on to Acts 14, chapter 14, guess what we're going to see Barnabas referred to as? An apostle. So when we see the apostles being met here right now, he's meeting the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. It's not just focusing on the apostles that were with Christ at that time. You get that? Just a thing to point out, so we're not thinking of Scripture contradicting Scripture. It's not. It's understanding the meaning of the word in the text with the Greek. So we get all that, and now we see the more important piece, Barnabas here. Barnabas, who last we saw doing some good works that Ananias and Sapphira tried to imitate, didn't work out well for them. Don't be fake, be genuine. And now we see Barnabas here, and the meaning of Barnabas' name, son of encouragement. This is that we are family. We are family. That's what Barnabas brings forth here. Because they're all afraid. And where's the one who's going to come alongside? Barnabas. Barnabas comes alongside. He took him, he brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he'd seen the Lord on the road, that he'd spoken to him, how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with him at Jerusalem, coming in and going out. So the son of encouragement. Barnabas helps. Boy, do we need more Barnabases in the church instead of Blamabuses. We got a lot of Blamabuses in the church, but we need more Barnabases. That's my takeaway from that one. Are you a Barnabas? Do you seek to encourage brothers and sisters? And when I talk about seek to encourage, do you seek to encourage or do you seek to encourage? Why do I do it like that? Because I think sometimes, yeah, I seek to encourage, but I'm only going to encourage the people I want, the people I like. That's not how it goes. Bride of Christ, everybody, one body. Encourage everybody. Be willing to be a Barnabas for anybody. Are you willing to be a Barnabas? Are you willing to do that? How's your love for his people? How's your love for brothers and sisters in Christ? We love each other in this church. I don't knock it, but is your love clicky? Check yourself after service. Do you talk to the same people each week? Or do you go out of your comfort zone to get to know other people in the body? Are you willing to be a Barnabas? I'll be real. I've been a churchgoer. I'm a churchgoer. Even myself, I have to remind myself Sundays because, okay, talk to other folks because you have people you're used to, you're comfortable with. But that's not how it works in the Bride of Christ. We should be comfortable with all of one another. Go out of your bubble. Be with the body. Be a Barnabas. Verse 29. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists, but they attempted to kill him. These Hellenists, it's though he's taken up the mantle that Stephen the martyr had last time. What were these Hellenists doing? These are, remember, Jewish people with Grecian culture. These are not believers like the Hellenists we saw when the seven were chosen. That's not what we're talking about. These are the Hellenists that Jews in Grecian culture. And what did they do? Remember what took down with Stephen the martyr? And now he's there debating with them. He saw that all go down. Transformed by Jesus. Hey, I'm here to talk about, he was right. Jesus is the King of Kings. They attempted to kill him, but what took place, verse 30, when the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus. God's sovereign protection. God's sovereign protection, the basket, the other. In the life of Stephen, we saw sometimes your obedience to the Lord, he calls you home. Other times, he's going to have different circumstances to protect you. Can you put up Paul's map really quick? I just want us to get where we are right now. And as we study more when Paul comes up, I want us doing a dive on the geography and where he is so you can really understand all of this. But this is just to give us the reminder. So the Lord appears on the road to Damascus upright. And then going from there, he's going to end up going to Arabia. Then he comes back to Damascus. Then he goes to Jerusalem. Then they take him to Caesarea, which is on the water far left. And then he's going to go to Tarsus, which is 300 miles north of Jerusalem. And it's inland 10 miles. So it's quite a distance that he's going, and they help him to go away. And we're going to not see him now for about 5 years or so. We're going to see when Barnabas brings him to the work in Antioch. That's when we're going to see him again. And then we're going to go on quite a journey with Paul, who's given us many, many, many writings and many scriptures we all know and memorize, and we'll go on that journey. So this is the radical transformation that takes place. And then we see what goes on with the church. Verse 31. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, Samaria, remember Acts 1:8, and the gospel spreading forth, had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. We could probably spend a whole Sunday morning just on this verse. If we're real, maybe we will next week. We'll see how the Lord leads. But we could spend a whole Sunday there. The peace, the edification being built up is what we see there. There's peace, one, the persecutor of Jesus Christ is now a protector for Jesus Christ. protecting the name of the Lord, fighting for the name of the Lord. And there's also some things going on culturally and politically we need to know. Tiberius, the Roman Emperor, well, before that even, Caiaphas is replaced. And Caiaphas is first replaced by Jonathan, then replaced by Theophilus. So there's changes going on within the leadership there. And then within the Roman Empire, the Emperor Tiberius is replaced with Caligula. And there's a little thing with this guy. Guess what? He really had a bitter hostility towards the Jewish people. So the fire that the Jewish ones may have had on, we must destroy these Christians, now it's a little bit shifted. Because there's a hot light on them. And I think it's interesting when you think of the covenant bless and curse of Genesis 12:3, because he's assassinated 4 years later. But there's a little moment of peace. There's a little moment of respite. And the church is being built up. And as this is going on, as peace is given from the Lord God Almighty, as the church is being built up, guess what they do? Walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Not what we see today, walking in the fear of man and the comfort of commercialism. That's what I think more it is today. But what we see here is the fear of the Lord and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The fear there is awe. The fear there is reverence for the Lord God Almighty. And the comfort points to a Greek that points similar to paraclete, it's paraclesis here, but it's pointing to the same idea of a helper, of a teacher, of a comforter that the Holy Spirit is. Awe of God, communion with his Spirit, and the church multiplies. Because when you have awe of God, Proverbs 3:5-8, that trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your understanding, the end, fear the Lord and depart from evil. You turn away from the things that aren't of God. And then, when you walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, you can't be comforted by something you're not intimate with. That means you're communing with the Holy Spirit. You're communing with the Holy Spirit. Saints, how is your awe and reverence for the Lord God Almighty? How is your communion with the Spirit of God? I said this a few weeks ago, I think. When you open your word in your prayer time, do you say, Holy Spirit, teach me? Or do you say, oh, wait, I got to get to the commentary. What do the notes there say? What does that mean? Don't go to the commentary. Don't go to the study notes on the bottom of the Bible. Why don't you just say, Spirit, teach me, and sit? And take some time and let the Spirit of God teach you. Well, that's crazy, Pastor Vince. How can you expect me to sit and just wait for the Spirit of God to teach me? I think we just read fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We didn't read fear of the Lord and in the comfort of commentaries and what men said about the Lord or God. No. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. We got to go back to the basics. Go back to the basics. Have a healthy fear of God. Seek a filling afresh of the Spirit of God to let him have his way. Romans 12:1-2. We're going to close momentarily. Romans 12:1-2, and I promise that's not the pastoral we're going to close, and I keep talking for another 20 minutes. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This is a calling. This comes after a chapter where we understand how we're grafted in, where we understand the redemptive work of our King. And then it's because of all that, because of his mercy, because none of it is deserved for Israel, for us, none of it. Be a living sacrifice. And then what? Don't be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. Bride of Christ, don't be conformed to this world. Yet too many Christians are. We appease the world, we compromise on the word of God because we don't want to upset people, and then we wonder why churches are more doing social justice than gospel. You want social justice, saints? Preach Christ. You want equity? Preach Christ. You want hope? Preach Christ. You want deliverance? Preach Christ. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Only one thing renews the mind. Boom. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. Let Him have His way. Let Him renew you. Let Him restore you. And then remember what Jesus said after the feast in John chapter 7. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. You need communion with the Holy Spirit. Stop talking about the Holy Spirit, Pastor Vince. I can't, because then I'm in disobedience to God. Sorry. God over man. We gotta be willing to go there. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Because we're not talking about wacky Spirit of God where I'm now going to say, everyone stand and speak in tongues and run around the room. No, but at a house of prayer, gifts of the Spirit might come up in biblical order, as we see in 1 Corinthians. And if it's not, under shepherd, accountable to God, we'll address it in the moment. Don't be afraid of the Spirit of God. Because it's the Spirit of God that's going to empower you to be the child of God you're called to be. And Jesus wants the living waters to flow out. So we've got to be open. There's so much more to say on this verse. We may have to revisit it next week, because I'm seeing the clock. But charge for this week, saints. One, pray and seek his transformation. Pray and seek his transformation. And what I mean there is, let the Lord search your heart and realize, Lord, maybe there's different ways that you need to talk. Maybe you need some transformation in your thought life. Maybe you need some transformation in how you talk to your husband or wife or your son or your daughter or your kids. Maybe you need some transformation in how you approach things. Are you somebody who's always complaining and a Debbie Downer and nothing's ever good in your life? It's always a mess. Pray for transformation. I do already. Well, keep asking the Lord and surrender your ways and let the Spirit of God work in you so that you're new and afresh. Pray and seek his transformation. Two, how's your fear of the Lord? How is your fear of the Lord? How's your reverence for the Lord God Almighty? Three, how's your communion with the Spirit of God? How is your communion with the Spirit of God? Are you willing to say, Spirit, teach me? Are you willing to say, Spirit, fill me, that I can be who you need me to be for your glory, that I can be empowered to walk in your ways, to obey you, to do what you ask? And the last part of the charge is for those who want to be radical for Jesus. Where's God not number one in your life? That one was a rough one for your under-shepherd this week, because the Lord revealed so many areas in my own life where I was like, you know, I need to put God first more. So my news apps went away, all these things. Because it was just that conviction. Pray and seek his transformation. How's your fear of the Lord? How's your communion with the Holy Spirit? Where is God not number one? Because as we saw, the last song with him for the church was being that mighty fortress indeed. As the lyrics of the song based on Psalm 46, Ein feste Burg ist unser Gott, a mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing, for still our ancient foe doth cease to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing, were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled, so this song, it hits the spiritual world and the physical world, should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this time in your house with your people, for the gift of your word, Lord God. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room. Lord, I pray for your hand in each and every single life. I pray for that filling afresh of your Spirit, Lord, that the Spirit of God, the living waters flow forth unto deeper communion, unto deeper surrender. Lord Jesus, that there's an understanding and realizing, seeking that communion with your Spirit draws us closer to you because it empowers us to let you break the chains, to surrender more and more and more, and to do your will, Lord. Father, help us to let you search our hearts. Father, help us to be basket bearers for one another. Help us to be Barnabases for one another, to speak that word of encouragement. Father God, help us to be men and women who don't play church, but are the church. That we're bold for you, that we're radical for Jesus, that we live for Christ alone. Lord, thank you for this time. Have your way in the lives of each person in this room. Be glorified and magnified. In the mighty and powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. God bless.